Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the part B of whatever episode this is. welcome back. We thought we was recording last night, but for some reason we weren't able to. But this is the here we are. We're gonna pick up where we left off on our show. We have the very funny, the very loving Romeo on the show. And so that's good. You guys know Romeo. You guys like him. I know that because of all the posts that we get, that's not about him. So, but we love having Romeo on. What's up, dude? What's up, dog?
What's up? Yes, yes. I'm here in the house.
You guys are familiar with that voice. And that is Romeo Nash. Retired Navy veteran. But before we go, before we start the show, I have a story that I want to tell that I told 1,000 times today. I told this to even people that I was on the phone with at work today, because life has a funny way of kicking you straight in the balls. And in with this story, no pun intended. So yesterday, I was at a Target. I was doing some grocery shopping, and after I was done doing what I needed to do, I went into the subway. And as I was in the subway station walking to my train, I stumbled onto two dudes fighting. Like, it was like a cage match without a cage, UFC fighting, and I was in awe. Now, I'm a human being, therefore I didn't whip out my phone and I was like, I'm going to record this shit. I didn't give that much of a fuck, but I did wonder what created this fight to happen. Now I'm going to describe the two people that was fighting. Number one, one of the dudes looked like a guy that just got off of work. He was a construction worker, Hispanic construction worker. The other guy looked like me, 40 pounds lighter, 4 inches shorter, and looked like he rolled out of bed in his pajamas. And he was winning.
Wow.
He was whooping this dude's ass. So I asked one of the guys who had their phones up, I was like, yo, what happened? What started this fight? So from what everyone was telling me was the guy that looked like me, but, you know, less healthier version than me, had his he was homeless, and he had his cup, you know, in front asking for change, and the dude with the construction worker kicked his cup. And I was like, what? That was the and when I looked over to like where his spot looked like it was, there was change all over the place. So this homeless guy was bringing it to this construction worker, who, number one, should have won this fight. But the homeless guy looked like he had something to prove. He was kicking the shit out of this guy.
That's
and
a death
was sitting break. Here watching. And I was like, thinking to myself, you know what? I was like, really? He kicked his cup full of change. And I was like, that's fucked up. Like, why would you do that? So this fight went on, and I'm not even exaggerating, went on for 5 minutes before a police officer showed up. Like, But the homeless guy was whooping this dude. And the reason how I knew this guy was a construction, he had his hard hat, like tape measurer, things that you knew that this guy was a taxpayer. And this homeless dude, again, way, like, just, I mean, like me, but again, the beard all around and everything. And he looked like he had something to prove. So I'm just sitting here watching. Again, there was probably 20 people surrounding this fight. All of them had their cell phones out. I didn't, because I have a bag of shit. And I'm just like, I want to see how this plays out, because I'm a comedian. And I need content. I need content. You know what I'm saying? I need content. So when it was all said and done, one cop came by and broke up the fight. And the homeless guy was like, man, motherfuckers keep fucking with me. I wasn't doing nothing to this guy or whatever. And I walked up to him, and the guy followed me. He was like, look, I got it on tape. I recorded it. I recorded it from the beginning of what happened. The guy kicked his fucking cup over, and obviously the homeless guy, with what little dignity he had left, took the dignity of this construction worker. Because he kicked the shit out of him. And I was like, look, I walked up to the guy while the cop was there because I'm like, I don't know, you know, mental illness and all that. I walked up to him and I was like, hey, not for nothing. How homeless are you? And he was like, what are you talking about, bro? I was like, because you kicked the shit out of a taxpayer. Like, I just, not, and I reached into my bag. I had like, and I gave him a muffin. I was like, here you go, man. Usually it would cost me like $200 and more to have a front row seat of this. But you look tired. You look like you're out of breath. I heard what happened. I'm sorry. Here's a muffin. And the guy, he was like, yo, man, thank you very much, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, but, and I thought to myself, I was like, first of all, looking at this fight, like, you're a construction worker. I don't care how much hour. I get it. You work hard in this or whatever. But why would you do that to somebody who needs it more than you?
Right.
Why would you do that to a guy in need? And not for nothing. As I'm watching this fight, I'm rooting for the homeless guy. I automatically, from the moment they told me, yeah, this guy kicked this homeless guy's, you know, change cup, I was like, I hope you beat the shit out of him. You know what I'm saying? I hope you
kick his ass. I'm with you on that.
Mind you, I have like 3 bags in hand and I'm like, I want to help. But I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to like just. So I approached the guy. I reached into my bag and the first thing that came out of my bag was a muffin, a blueberry muffin. I was like, bro, you look tired. Mind you, the cop is still here. He was like, did you see anything? I was like, not really. You could ask the people because they had their phones up. I don't do the whole world star hip hop thing. I don't give a shit about that. But I was very curious in what happened, what made this guy lose his shit. And I'm like, you know what? This homeless guy, you look at this guy and it's like, this guy took whatever shred of dignity he had left. And he made sure he took the other guy's dignity. I was like, bro, good for you. Stand up for yourself. I don't care what your situation is. You stood up for yourself. Here's a blueberry muffin. Right. Eat it in good health. Well, that was my dinner, but there you go.
You know, I understand. Like, I get pissed off about all the freaking homeless or all the bums and shit trying to get money and stuff. But you know what? If they're sitting there and they're just minding their business and
which
they
got was,
their cup out there,
yeah,
I ain't gonna fuck with them. The only way I'm gonna fuck with them is if they come up to me and start. I just tell them no, just go, turn around, go, don't. But if they were kind of like start copping an attitude with me, then I'm gonna say something back. But you don't need to be putting hands on them, and you know you don't need to try and make their situation's already bad enough.
Thank you. That's what I said. I was like, you know, it's like your situation is bad enough. And mind you, with the 2 minutes that I talked with him, this wasn't a guy who was like, you know, who had a fucking aluminum hat on or anything like that. He was like, look, I'm here all the time. And he's like, this is not the first guy that was fucking with me. He was like, I had somebody yesterday, you know, got mad at me. And I looked over, he had like a couple of bags. Like, you know, this guy looked like he was pretty down and out. You know what I'm saying? But why? My thing is, first of all, why would you fuck with a person who's homeless? You don't know what their mental state is.
Yeah, that's, you know, a fact. Saying?
But his mental state was enough for him to know, look, I know my self-worth. I know I'm right now in a shitty situation. But for you to kick his cup. And mind you, not even walk far enough for this guy. This guy chased you down and was throwing hands at you. You deserve that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel sorry for you because, again, I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, okay, you're well-dressed. You have a hard hat. You have a tape measure. You have a hammer or a tool belt. But you thought you're, like, what makes your day that bad that you felt you had to make somebody who you, it's obviously this guy, when you looked at this homeless guy, it's obvious that shit ain't working for him. Right. But he had enough dignity for himself to say, you know what? Fuck this. And he fought this dude. I mean,
well, and the thing is, though, is, you know, from the way you described the homeless guy, he was a smaller guy. So obviously the construction worker thought that he was bigger and stronger and he could bully him and get away with it, you know? And, like, look, you already hear so much about the plight of the homeless where people look at them as less inhuman. And they tell you, too, don't fuck with the homeless because a lot of them have mental health issues, and most of them, because the life that they're living, have to have weapons.
And they have this much to lose.
Yeah.
This much.
Yep.
So, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, bro, usually it would cost me money and I would have to travel somewhere to see something like this. But you look tired.
Yep,
I mean, and not for nothing, he looked like he had his shit together, like, upstairs. But it was just like, I was like, look, here you go, bro. And he was like, really? Are you serious? I'm like, yeah, you look like you could, you know, to me, you know, it's a muffin, but you look like you could use the, you know, your energy, your, you know, so, but, you know, and I saw him and I was just like, you know, why? You know, he's like, look, I didn't want to fight that dude, but it was just like, I felt like I have dignity. I have, you know, I have kids. I don't want them out here with me while I'm doing this. They're at a homeless shelter right now and I'm trying to get my shit together. And that's the thing about, you know, New York, like we are not shy when it comes to homeless people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got plenty of them. But this particular guy, it was different. It wasn't like he was laying down and was like, woe is me. No, fuck that. You're going to try to take my dignity as a homeless person. I'm going to try to take yours as a taxpayer.
Yeah.
You're a taxpayer. Like this dude, I'm looking at the construction worker. I'm like, yeah, he looked like a dude that did his taxes the same time I did a few days ago. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to try to take advantage, or not even take advantage, you're going to make somebody who is obviously struggling, you're going to do that, like, what were you expecting to happen? Now, I think what he thought was, oh, if I kick his cup, he ain't going to do shit. He's just a homeless guy, and he doesn't know his self-worth. But apparently, he kicked the wrong dude's cup, because this construction worker, and most construction workers, we know, we see them, they're big, brawly, buff, whatever, have nothing. This construction worker made a lot of construction workers look bad because he got the shit kicked out of him. You know, I was like, wow. I want no parts of this guy, to be honest. You know, I want nothing to do with this gentleman. But at the same time, as humans, why are you kicking somebody who's already low?
Yeah.
So when I heard what happened, I was like, I looked over to the two people fighting, and I was like, I hope I could tell which was which. I was like, I hope that homeless guy kicks the shit out of this construction worker. I won't even sleep over it. So that's my story.
I agree. And that, you know, it's sad. Like, you know, that's a kind of a bully mentality, and that's the kind of shit that pisses me off. And that's why you're rooting for the underdog. Like, dude, clearly you have a job. Clearly you're okay. Why do you have to kick somebody who's already down? You know, are you such a bully that you feel like they're not going to retaliate? I mean, and that's just fucking stupid. That is just absolutely asinine, because, again, they are a lot of the homeless, they tell you, do not engage because they have mental health issues and they have weapons to protect themselves.
Yep.
So
the strange thing about this particular fight was, I noticed that the construction worker had a wedding ring on. And he was losing this fight. Like, he was getting, like, his face was tattooed. So I'm, like, thinking to myself, he's got to go to his wife and whatever kids he may have and explain this. Now, he might be like, oh, man, you know, this homeless guy attacked me. There's video. You know, we got video evidence that you was a dick. So it's like, if your wife just happens to be on Facebook and saw World Star Hip Hop, and she sees somebody who is like, yeah, that looks like my husband, that looks like the route he would take to come home to me. Wow, that explains that. I'm like, dude, you gotta explain that to your kid. Like, even, no matter how you dress it up, yeah, man, I had to whoop this homeless dude ass because he attacked me. We got video. There was people that was there that was like, yo, they videotaped it after the kicking of the cup. But at the same time, you have a good old-fashioned, passionate ass-whooping from a homeless guy who, I spoke with him. I was like, this dude is not crazy at all. He's just down on his luck. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he was like, the pineapples. No, this guy was like, yo, I come here 3 times a week to get some change for my family. Usually someone will fuck with me, but he was like, yo, he was like, no one has ever fucked with me to a point where they're kicking my cup and changes all over the place. Like, even during the fight, there was a monk who dressed in orange, bald-headed, the stuff all over his face, gathered up all the change, put it in a cup, and put it next to his stuff.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, wow. So it's either people know this guy and they know to the extent of his homelessness, but I'm just like, again, Mike, what, you fought so well to be homeless. Like, do we need to do like a Lionheart mentality where it's like, I got you booked for fighting? You know what I'm saying? Like bum fights or whatever. Cause it's just like, this guy looks like I mean, again, I'm not trying to be like a dick, but I'm like, yo, you look like you have a DVD with your face on it in bum fights and you've won match. You've won matches, you know?
Wasn't that on the cartoon once? American Dad, the bum fighting?
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people would pay to see that.
I just happened upon it, and based on people's self, you know, we live in a cell phone society where it's like,
oh yeah,
we'll tape anything. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, I thought to myself, ooh, if I tape this and post this on Facebook and be like, hey, another day in the subway. But I was like, why? Like, I'm at a point in my life as a person who posts stuff on Facebook, my motivation is, what am I to achieve with this post?
Yeah.
With any post. What? And I even ask people, like, whenever they're in debates, let me ask you this. What were you hoping to gain? I don't give a shit. First of all, I'll say this straight up. I don't give a fuck about likes. I don't give a fuck about likes. I don't give a shit. I don't do Facebook for popularity. I don't give that much of a fuck. I know some people who are like, oh, I need the, you know, likes. I don't give a shit about likes. Why? If I post up some, like, especially when I see people posting up stuff that is just, like, detrimental, that doesn't help uplift people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, right. I don't give a shit what you post. Post whatever you want. I don't care. But if you're one of the people that are, like, seeking likes, seeking admiration, or bullshit, I have nothing for you. You know what I'm saying? I look at a lot of posts. There's some people who do shit posts, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But it was just one of those things where it's like, I'm never going to put my phone up and be like, hey, look what I saw on the subway. Now, the one thing that I do post, and the one thing that I do take pictures of, is people sleeping on the subways, because I'm working on a calendar. That's my thing. I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for it. My mom even likes it. She's like, why don't you post these on Facebook? I'm like, when I post 12 good ones, I'm going to do a calendar. And I'm going to be like, hey, look, here's what I have to go through every morning on the way to work, going, you know, but when it comes to people down and out, it's obviously down and out. Yeah. And I'm like, who does that? How bad is your life that you gotta like mess with a homeless person? How bad is your fucking life? You're a construction worker. You people expect you to build homes. I'm like, what the fuck is, how bad is your life that you're like, let me go change all over the place? No,
let me ask you, was this after work? Coming home after work?
Or I can tell you this. This was during rush hour traffic in New York on a Wednesday night. Yes.
Wednesday night.
Well, Wednesday afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, okay, it was after work.
So when I got to the corridor, I see people with their phones up. And by the time I even got to the hallway, I heard like you could hear something is going on. Like there's some kind of altercation. And when I got to the hallway and I saw it, I was like, oh, this is out of the ordinary when in my commute of all things. So again, you know, I inquired, and mind you, 20 people and 20 people doing this.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at people's phones. I'm like, oh, okay. I see you're 2 minutes before I got here. What happened? And the guy, and then, you know, not only did they tell me what happened, but when the cops came, everybody was willing to be like, I got photo evidence. I'm like, oh, now you want to talk to the cops and fucking narc out New York City. Don't ever change. That's my new motto. Don't ever change. Be dicks. Don't ever, ever, ever change.
You know what, though? And that's what's sad, though, is that in our society, people are so afraid of not capturing it on video that they don't take the time to intervene or to even call the cops.
Yeah. You know? Now, I thought about intervening, but I'm like, I don't know, you know, I don't want to, first of all, I don't want to get involved in people's affairs. It's none of my fucking business. I could have easily just walked around the fight, walked around the crowd and mind my business. But I'm a person who takes the subway every day. If something is out of the ordinary, I would like to know about it so I could be like, oh, it's just another day, you know, in New York, another day in paradise. You know, the other day, like this morning even, hopping on a train, and I noticed that there was people that, you know, early in the morning, there's always homeless people. Mad homeless people. Now, again, I'm not going to fuck with you. I get it. But I'm not going to sit there next to you. I'm not going to coddle you. I'm not going to be like, oh, don't worry. Life is going to be okay. You just got to... No, you're 50 years old. And you're homeless, it's practically over. like I don't mean it, like it's pretty much over for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's almost like when I don't mean so when women in their so when I used to go on dating apps and I would always see like the when it comes to women, their thoughts on like childbirth and all that, like having kids, and they'll say something like, I'm not sure yet, or I'm open to children. You're 35, your decision has already been made for the most part. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you're 35 and you have no kids, but you're open to kids. I'm like, okay, there's a backstory there. Like, how come you don't have kids already? What's the story there? You know what I'm saying? Or when they're just like, I have kids, I want more. That's where I'm just like, okay, backpedal a little bit. I don't have kids. I'm not anti-children. I like kids. I have a niece who I just have to, you know, rebuke a few times today. But, she, you know, she's my blood and I got to pretend to give a shit. But nonetheless,
right?
You know, if you're 39 years old and you're like, I'm open to kids. I'm like, no, you're kind of not, you know, you're just like, that ship has almost sailed.
No, it has. At 39, it should sail, because otherwise you could have some health issues.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's just like, after 40, it's like, okay, we might have a, you want to have a kid with a good chance of having Down syndrome.
Yep.
What are you willing, as a mother, and me as a father, to be like, okay, a doctor's like, okay, it looks like your kid's going to have Down syndrome because you're 42 years old, and you're attempting to have a child. So it's one of those things where it's like, and this was something that me and my brother talked about in one of our episodes when we talked about dating. It was like, I always say, how are you in crisis? That's what determines the strength of this relationship. And on top of that, his friend even doubled down and said, not only that, but you want to know how you know how somebody is and catch the tip of that iceberg? Go on vacation with them.
Oh, yeah.
Take a road trip with them.
Yeah.
Right? Let me ask you this, Marianne, you and Romeo. Before you got married, have you guys taken trips? You guys went away before. Yep. What was that like? I'm kind of curious. What was that situation like?
I have to say that the one is we took the motorhome. We drove the motorhome
to Utah,
down to southern Utah, and then hooked over to Las Vegas and drove it back. Everything was great. Our trip on our way home, we were going to stop off at the Grand Canyon, and we went to go put some gas in the motorhome, and there was an incident with the motorhome and the bumper getting kind of ripped off.
Okay.
Early ripped off. And tempers were very, very hot and heated.
Okay. And with that being done, now, again, you're on the road with, now, was this pre-marriage or was this post-marriage?
Pre-marriage.
Okay. So that perfect. So let me ask you this, and Romeo, you could chime in as well. How did you fit, like, as far as, and again, I think about this too. With the situation, did you think like, okay, with how, and how Romeo reacted to the situation, did you think like, oh, I feel safe, or I feel he has taken control of the situation. I feel confident that if we ever get into a jam like this, that he would do everything that he can as a man, as a husband, or as even as a fiance, to make sure that we are not in danger, we are safe, we are good. How did you feel on a level of maybe like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like, what the fuck, and 10 being like, oh yeah, I'm with you all the way. How did you feel?
I feel like,
what the fuck?
Oh, I was totally what the fuck. I was totally, because let me explain what happened. And it wasn't even my motorhome at the time. It was my sister's, right? And my sister and I went into the store and left him without a spotter. Okay, so let me just, yeah. So he did not have a spotter, okay? And he was able to get into the gas pump fine. It was when he was leaving that the bumper hooked something and ripped on the bumper, okay? So it tore the bumper off. Not completely off, but it tore paneling on the motorhome, okay? So understandably, now we still have, what, 1,200 miles to go to get home.
Right.
So understandably, he was very, very stressed out.
Okay.
But here's where the what the fuck came in. We are in mega country, mega, mark right again, country, full on. And here, they're not used to seeing black people at all. And
especially with the white gal.
Yeah. And here.
Well, I was with two white girls.
Two white women. Oh. Two big white women.
You were pimping, right? You were pimping.
And
shit, that,
he
that
came is... into the store and started like bellowing for me. Like he does normally, but I could tell he was kind of frantic.
But I was looking for, a way to put it back on. I was looking for tools. I was looking for parts. And
so you were being proactive.
Right. But they weren't helping me. Nobody was helping me. Because, like she said, we were in the country. We were where there wasn't any blacks.
Okay, we had, hold on. We had already gone into the store prior to that. So we didn't know that you needed help because we didn't know there was an issue.
Right.
Until you came in screaming for me. Bellowing for me. Right. Let me. Okay, so it wasn't that we weren't helping you because.
No, not true. The people in the store wasn't helping me. That's why I was calling for y'all. Because they wouldn't help me. I asked them for help. And a girl looked at me funny. And she was like, well, there might be something over there. And I was like, okay. And so I went over there and I was looking. And I asked the guy, and the guy said, I'm on my break. And he walked off.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
Wow.
That's when I started calling for you.
Oh, man.
See, what that guy should have done was, even if he was on his break, hey, you know what? Let me get somebody to help you.
Exactly.
Not on his, you know, that's like, I mean, that's almost like customer service 101. Yeah. You know, first of all, you don't even say, oh, I'm on my break. Hey, oh, you need help? Let me get someone to help you right quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't tell somebody that, because when I hear that, it's like, oh, you don't, and then you said he walked away. Oh, so not only are you on your break.
The other guy came
you don't want to fucking help me.
He started helping us right away with everything. Yeah. But that first guy I talked to, he was like, I'm on my break. And he walked off.
Yeah, I would have, man, let me tell you something. If I was a supervisor and I heard that, his ass got fired 2 seconds after he made that statement to you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and then walked away.
But one guy did help. The one guy was like helping. He came outside and he was like.
Yeah, him, I do remember him helping us.
Yeah. The one guy came out helping and everything.
Yeah.
But the first guy I ran into was like, he looked at me, he was like, I'm on my break.
He was like, I'm sorry. You're not a white woman in need. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, black brother. I'm on my break. But no, even if you're on your break, because again, I'm in customer service and my bosses, they're just like, oh, obviously. Okay. You do not, for those who are listening, who is in customer service or in the retail industry or whatever.
Yeah.
The last thing a customer wants to hear is I'm on my break. That means you just basically told me you don't give a shit about my situation.
Right.
And you're just basically telling me that, oh, you don't give a fuck that I should just leave and go to another place because I have money and if you don't want it, someone else will take it.
Yep. And not to mention, one of my biggest pet peeves in the world is bad customer service. Cause I was a customer service manager for a long time. Let me tell you something. If you're on your break, customers shouldn't see you.
Yep.
Thank you. Exactly. Let me tell you something, Marianne. It's funny that you say that. When I'm on my lunch break, I turn my phone off.
Yep.
There's no way you're getting a hold of me. I'm on my break, if I'm walking around the warehouse, even if somebody comes up to me and is like, hey, and is asking me questions. I'm not going to be like, I'm on my break. You figure it out. No. Even if I'm on my break, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Let me go bring you over to the counter. We have a counter guy. He'll answer any questions that you may have. And then whether I'm on my break or not, no one gives a fuck that you're on your break. Nobody could give two dog shits. You're on your break. The idea is if someone comes up to me and asks me a question, let me get you to the guy that could help you. I'm not going to be like, oh, figure it out yourself. No. Let me get you to the guy who I know, who's working the counter, who knows, who's a veteran at this. And then you know what? Nine times, hey, thank you very much, sir. Hey, no problem. Because you want to know why customers, they come into your establishment, they're there to spend money. They're there because if they spend money, it's helping their business.
Yeah.
So, no. So when I'm on my lunch break, yo, I cut my phone off. So I'm not getting any calls. Of course, I'm entitled to a lunch break. Everybody knows that. But if there's, but on, even on top of that, if somebody asks me a question that I don't know the answer to, I know who, I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't know the answer to this question, but I know somebody who does. Let me connect you over to them. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great. Great. I'm gonna rat on myself a little bit. My boss and I, when I got back to from, I was sick for a long while, 5 days. And me and my boss, we had, hey, how you doing? How's your health? This, that, whatever. And then he tells me, okay, so I'm gonna tell you something. I had a customer call and they complained about me. And I was like, okay, let me hear it. And he told me what had happened, what the customer said. And he was like, the customer said that you repeated yourself three different times and the customer felt like they were stupid when you repeated yourself three times. And I'm like, okay. And my boss wouldn't tell me who the customer was because, you know, he's like, look, it really doesn't matter. But even today, I'm like, oh, I know who it is. And I'm like, okay. And I'm the, my bosses, my superiors, greatest people ever. They don't micromanage. They don't look over my shoulder. They'll probably from a distance look and see like the way that I talk, how I love all my customers. I'm a pretty good guy. Like I would not, I, as a customer service rep / salesperson, I'm not gonna make you feel foolish because again, I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me either. Right. But I was like, but he was telling me a situation and he was like, yeah, he said they were telling you the situation and they said you three times kept saying, well, here's the policy, and they weren't understanding it. And my boss was like, no, you're not in trouble. I get what happened. And I asked him, I was like, was there a language barrier? Maybe. And it was like, nope. He said, you said they gave you a scenario. And he said, three times you said, oh, in a situation like this, this is what happens. This is where we fall upon. So I was like, okay. And my boss knows that I'm never going to make a customer feel like shit. I don't do that because, you know, I want you to call. And if you hear my name, oh, Jamal, I mean, Hayden, he's a guy that knows his shit. He's going to help me. And even if he doesn't know, he's going to direct me to the people that do. Because, again, I don't know everything. But he told me this story. He told me this situation. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the part where you rebuke me and you're like, this is how we want you to do it. No, not at all. He was like, look, if you're frustrated with a customer or they're frustrated with you and you feel it, transfer them to somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? I could do that? He was like, yeah. Just, you know, help them as much as you can. But if you feel that they are... And I was like, look, I don't want people feeling like shit when they're, you know, like, oh, my God, I got Hayden of all people. No, I'm really, I think it was one of those things where it was like, it was probably early morning. And he was like, oh, here's the situation. And I'm like, okay, yeah, give me your sales order number, this, that, whatever. But you know, I'm very firm. I know how to dictate certain situations. You know what I'm saying? But never would I want a customer after they hang up with me feel like, wow, what a dick. And on top of that, I say that to say this. My bosses know that I'm a stand-up comedian. My bosses know that I'll say something semi-inappropriate. Semi. Like, even today, there was a guy who was trying to give me part numbers for items that weren't in that I couldn't find in our system. Well, I'm looking at a 2017... looking at a 2017... catalog, and I was like, well, sir, it's 2024. Welcome to the 20th century. I said that. I did. And he was like, wow, I don't think anyone has ever said that to me before. And I said, I don't mean to be like crass. And he was like, no, that was very ballsy. And I liked, and like for some reason I like that. I was like, sir, we don't have catalogs. We ask people to refer to the website. And then he asked to speak to my supervisor, and he wasn't available at the time, but I was like, he was like, look, when he is available, here's my number, here's my name, you have him give me a call. So I walked into his office and I was like, so there's probably going to be a complaint about me. And he was like, okay, I'm listening. Tell me what happened. And we, you know, we had like a nice little talk about it. Later on that day, he comes up to me. He was like, oh, this customer, he's like, he didn't complain about you at all. He was just like, my catalog is outdated. And obviously you're very new. You've been here for 8 months now. So he was just like, no, he didn't complain about you at all. He's like, as a matter of fact, he said some things to me that you told him. And he was like, wow, that guy is very ballsy. And my boss knows, and he will say this. He's like, you're an asshole, but you're our asshole. I'm like,
yeah.
I like that. I'm fine with that. You know?
Speaking of assholes, I'm gonna kind of change the subject here for a minute because we only got a little bit of time left, but I really, really want to talk about, we cannot let this go without talking about Super Tuesday.
Woohoo! Yes. I talked to my dad about this a little bit. So, okay, Super Tuesday. This much I do know.
Well, first of all, before we jump into Super Tuesday, I want to talk about this. Let's preface it with this.
Let's talk
a little bit about the bullshit that Trump recently said. And I kind of want your guys as I sent you guys talking about. No, I don't want to join. Trump is talking about how he's super popular with Black people now because of him getting arrested. And he says that Black people are flaunting his mugshot.
And he also said that.
So, now, I know you said this, you were talking about this on the last episode, that you were hinting about this. I want to say this. Number one, that is very racist. That is a very fucking racist. That's a very stereotypical. First of all, as a white person who, let me double back. Number one, if Trump was Black, he'd be in jail.
Right.
Sorry. That's the truth. Your ass would be in jail.
No, be sorry about that. That's true facts.
Nobody would give a fuck about you. You would be completely out of the fucking running. If Obama
tried to do any of the things that he's doing.
Yeah.
If Obama tried any of this shit, he'd be locked up.
Yeah. If Trump was Obama, he'd be in jail.
Yep.
Yeah.
In fucking jail. So, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Because I'm ready for this. You have my undivided attention now.
So Charles Barkley said if he found out that he threatened any Black person he ever sees flaunting a Donald Trump's mugshot. Basically, Charles Barkley said that what Trump said was insanely racist. And if you're stupid enough to be rooting for Trump as a Black person, you're ignorant.
Now, Charles Barkley is a lot of things, and in this case, he's right.
Yes.
He's very right. First of all, for Donald Trump, okay, let's paint a little picture of America here. Black Americans make up what? 10 to 13% of the population.
13%.
Okay, so for the fact that he thinks that he's Tupac, it's very insulting.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, what he did had nothing to do with Black folks. And there are, now, with that being said, there are some Black people that do support him. Why? I will never understand. But there are Black Republicans, so that's a thing. We have to deal with that. But for Trump to be like, okay, first of all, you're not a rapper, Mr. Donald J. Trump. You're not a rapper. You're not, we're not, buy, what, your album that's not dropping, no one is going to buy. Okay, so there's that. Number two, yeah. If you think that, oh, well, we have something in common with you. No, we don't. We don't have anything in common with you. You're a rich 76-year-old white guy. You're not Donald Sterling, ex-owner of the Clippers. We have nothing in common with you. Yeah. So for you to think that, oh, this is going to help the black, no. The black people that already like you are still going to vote for you, but the black people that hate your fucking guts hate you even more for the fact that you said that. And for the fact that black Republicans are saying like, oh, yeah, he's got a point there. No, sweetheart. No, no, princess. No, he's not representing. He does not get, again, the one thing that I love about Trump is he is so good at grabbing those simple, feeble-minded people and getting them on. He's like the fucking American Hitler.
Well, he, you know, he is. He wants.
Not for nothing. I respect that.
He wants
as
to be
far, as far as that, I respect that because, again, as a person who was supposed to go into office, as a person who was supposed to grab power, you need as many feeble-minded, dumb motherfuckers, as George Carlin would call these people, as you can. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, could I be wrong? Maybe, but I highly fucking doubt it in this case. I highly doubt it in this case. So here's the thing. It's going to be Biden and Donald Trump, which I was never for in the first place.
It's going to be sorry, Trump, man.
Biden, Biden was 77, 78. Can we handle 4 years of somebody who's going to be Mr. Magoo in 2 years?
Well, fuck, he's 84 now.
So basically, if the vice president is still the vice president on his ticket and he's lost his goddamn mind, are we ready for that transition? Because that's what you're really planning for.
And you know what? That's exactly why Trump's going to win.
Yep.
Trump's going to win.
You think Trump's going to... No, honestly, do you think Trump's going to win this election?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I do.
Okay, because... Show your work.
Most people, it's not that they don't want to vote for Biden. Nobody believes this man's going to live the term.
Yeah, and they don't want Kamala.
You see what I'm saying? They don't want Kamala.
They don't want her. And they feel that when Trump left office, the economy tanked. And they think that he's some kind of superhero that'll give them all this stronger economy.
So let me ask you this then, and pretend that I'm ignorant. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, that Trump gets back into office. I, to be honest with you, and I'm not saying that you guys, there's no truth to what you're saying. I mean, anything could happen. Yeah. But if Trump hypothetically wins this election, what do you guys see happening? What are we expecting for the next 4 years of America?
It's going to be rough.
He's trying to make a civil war.
He's also trying to make it so that he can become a dictator.
Yeah.
Because the first thing he said,
actually, you mentioned something about that last episode, that people, presidents should not face criminal charges.
Any consequences for their actions.
He said they should be immune.
Dictatorship across the fucking board. That's a dictatorship. That's not a democracy.
Exactly.
And the action, and that tells me that's right there.
And he said that shit on the news.
That's what scares me the most, is that if people think that that's the truth, they don't know what America stands for. Because the whole point of America is that of the people, for the people, by the people, we all need to be accountable for our actions.
That's right.
You cannot have anybody above the law. especially not the commander in chief. You cannot have the fucking president of the United States of America be above the law.
What I don't understand is he's going to be the president of the United States, but this motherfucker don't have no security clearance. He's a felon. He has he can't get a job at Walmart, but he can be the president. Okay? Yeah. He's been in court and indicted and all these court he's been in court since for the last 4 years. Since he got out, he's been in court.
Yeah. And now, he's still in court.
Right.
And he's still not winning.
Right. And should he become president again? He's going to he's going to make everything, throw everything out the window.
Yeah. He's going to
make it so that he can't be brought up on charges for anything.
Yeah. And he's going to absolve himself of any wrongdoing.
Yep. He's going to absolve himself. And that's, I mean, which any person would do if had they had the power.
It's not just that, though. It's not just that. It means that he wants it so that he's not held accountable for anything he does as the president again, the next president. So if he becomes elected president again, he's trying to set the tone so that he can do whatever he wants and not be held accountable for, like, criminally liable for any of that stuff. So that, again, like you said, that's not a presidency. That's a dictatorship.
Yeah, I know.
And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to lay that groundwork so that he can't. And the thing is he knows that he can't run again, and he wants that power. Do you think he's going to just step down quietly?
Well, we always knew that he was going to try to gain that traction to get back into the White House, to find a way to get back to. We always knew, no matter what criminal charges he was going through,
right,
or whatever espionage he was going through, we always knew that he was going to try to find his way back into relevancy. That's one thing that Trump is always good at, is finding his way back into the limelight. Oh, I'm going through all this criminal charges, blah, blah, blah. And mind you, Maine and other states took him off the ballot.
You know that they can't do that, though, right? Because the federal...
Exactly. So now the Supreme Court said, hey, he's on the ballot now.
Yeah, he's Colorado back. Did, too. They said they took him off, and they said the Supreme Court said, no, you cannot take him off. You cannot decide. A state cannot remove a candidate because that oversees their power as a state. So, which is, to me, in my mind, is bullshit, because that was something that was on the books long before Trump. Okay, they never had a problem with it before. Now all of a sudden they do. Okay, because nobody tried to enforce it or enact it before. So that being said, then here's what I'm trying to understand, and I wish somebody could explain this to me, because and that's why I was hoping we could have like the Kate Carlson's or the other people who are kind of a lot more into politics than I am. I just want somebody to explain to me, how is it possible that when you impeach a president that they can run again?
Well, the thing about being impeached is it's almost like, because there's been a lot of presidents that's been impeached. Like Clinton has been impeached. I mean, it's almost like, I feel like being impeached, it's like a slap on the wrist. Like Clinton was impeached because of the Monica Lewinsky thing, which was like for the biggest, like I never, even up to this day, never gave a shit about that. A president got a blowjob while he was married, while he was in office. Who gives a shit?
A lot of people. Hold on. Wait a minute. Stop.
No. A lot of people did, but I'm talking about morally. I'm talking about morally speaking. Who gave a shit?
No. It is not about morally speaking. Nope.
Okay, school me. Let talk to me.
He was the commander in chief. Any military person that's serving would get kicked out of the military for infidelity. Correct me if I'm wrong. If there was a general, a colonel, a major, any of them had affairs with a lesser rank, and they were having an affair and stepped out, they were unfaithful to their married spouse.
Basically, you're telling me that JFK got off lightly?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
You're telling me JFK got off lightly because he got murdered. He didn't have to stand trial for the whole Marilyn Monroe thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to worry about that. The grassy knoll took care of that for him.
Well.
No, the reason why I say that is because, not for nothing, we always see celebrities, our favorite actors, with their wives and this, that, whatever. But I'm like, okay, this person's about to go over to New Zealand and film a movie for 8 months. You think he's not going to fuck something that's not his wife? Unless your name is not Mel Gibson and you bring your entire family with you? You know what I'm saying? It's like, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that people are infallible. Men, especially men are infallible. We are infallible. So the whole Marilyn Monroe thing, the whole Bill Clinton thing. First of all, the question, if Steph Curry, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, steps outside of his wife, hypothetically speaking, and continues to play as good as he plays, would we give a shit? You're a basketball player. Your infidelity had nothing to do with it. I don't like it, but you just scored 45 points in one game against the Lakers or whatever. Do we give a shit after that?
There's a difference.
The reason why I say that is because I did a podcast earlier today, and we were kind of talking, and we were just like, well, because of the Matt Rife thing, there's an allegation that Matt Rife did something sexual in order to be more famous than he is now. And my response to that was, wait, what did he do? And did he only have to do it once? And does that mean that he never has to ever do this again? And if that's the case, I might have to stand in line for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wait, was he at a point where he was like, wait a minute, hold on. Okay, look at me, Marianne, hold on. Wait, I only have to do this once, right? No one's going to know about this, right? You're not filming this, right? You're not filming this, right? Wait, hold on a second. My dad, he's still alive, and he has a YouTube. We're not going to put this... Okay, so how long do I have to put this in my mouth for, and I would never have to flip burgers for the rest of my life? Oh. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Allegedly, mind you. Not that I give a shit about Matt Rife, but if you really think about it, it's like, okay, if he does this and his career blossoms, it's like, wow, that's all it took? You'll be surprised how many women tell me, hey, what would it take to go on your show, because I'll blow you if I could be on your show. It's like, wow. How many other producers told you that in order for you to be on their shows? You never have to do that. I would never accept a sexual favor for anyone to be on my show.
Wow.
I don't want that kind of stigma attached to me.
Hell,
you know what I'm saying? I'm like, first of all, ladies who are comedians that are listening to this podcast right now, or this portion of the podcast, if you feel you need to blow me or somebody else to be on a show, you need to seek therapy.
God damn it, and you told me
fast.
So I didn't have to? What the?
hey, Romeo, that was our secret.
Here's what I have to say.
I didn't have to?
Here's what I have to say about that. If you feel like you're not funny, and that you should, and just because you have the time to put in the energy to blow some nasty dude, or you could go back and write some fucking material.
First of all, I'm right here. And second of all, you got a good point.
I wasn't thinking about you as the nasty dude, but I am saying I've seen some of the producers and I'm like,
no, there'll be shows in New York that I'll be on and like a female comic will make a joke like, oh my God, I blew that dude just to be here. And I'm thinking to myself, I know the producer here. He's like, he doesn't bathe. Like he bathes like twice a week. How did you fuck this guy and get, I'm like, all right, you fuck this guy, you got on the show. I don't care. Better you than me, but your integrity.
Yeah.
What about your integrity? Ladies, you never, I would love for women to be like, hey, I want to be on your show. Great. You never have to do any disgusting thing to be on my show ever. And the fact that someone is just like, oh yeah, she blew me to be on this show, and you're not funny, it's like, okay, I can see why you did what you had to do. You kind of gamble there. You're not
funny. Yeah, but you know what, though? You wouldn't have some woman blow you to get a spot on your show because you're not, you have a more integrity than that, and you want for your show. You have
thanks.
More.
Thank
although
you, Marianne.
You have one person you keep fucking booking that we all keep wondering why. Although, I think the last time I saw them.
In my defense, you know, Romeo has been ignoring my advances, so.
in my defense, she's got to be hands down. Sorry, I'm not fucking this up.
I bet you, I definitely would put my blowjob skills against yours any day of the week.
So you're saying that I got a lot of work to do there.
Hold on, wait a minute. Am I the one that's got to judge?
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No. Well, I'm seeing. I already won.
You did.
See? Game
hands
over.
Hands down. Sorry.
He looks almost disappointed.
I don't like losing. Note to self. Note to self. Cup the balls. Just couple. I am probably going to get a lot of letters of not being booked because, hey, we heard your podcast. Wait, you blow people for stage time? No, never, ever. And I don't, no, never. I would never, but it's just like, I feel like anytime, like I had a woman tell me like, I will blow you for stage. I'm like, really? Like, I don't really want you on your show. If that is how you feel that you would need to come on. I had two, and the funny thing about it is, I went to this show, there was a girl that was performing there, she did very terrible, very bad, and then she knew that I was a producer, she came up to me, and she was like, hey, they told me that you're a producer, what shows do you produce? And I'm like, oh, you know, I produce all over the country, whatever. And she was like, I would like to be on your show, like, what would I have to do it? And I was like, well, you'd have to be, and I said, you have to be funny. And she was like, well, did you not see my set? And I was like, yeah, I did. That's why I didn't approach you. That's why I was sitting here having drinks with friends of mine, making fun of everybody else on the show. And you just came up to me like, oh, they told me you were a booker. Like, no, that first of all, that's not how that works. Like, that's not how that works at all. You have to be funny. You know what I'm saying? And then also, you have to be willing not to blow me in order to be on my show. So it's a little bit of like, oh, I'm funny. And no, you do not have to have sex with me to be on a Jamco show ever. And if you ever even like suggest that that's what it takes, I would never book you. I don't care how funny you are. That's not that I don't I take because at the end of the day, it's like, if I booked this person on a show that said, oh, yeah, I blew Jamal just to be on it, whose reputation is it ruining?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Trust me. First of all, A, I love sex more than anybody would ever know. But I know that I am not going to give up my comedy integrity to be like, oh, it's only a 5-minute blowjob. No, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because that 5-minute blowjob is a conversation you're going to have with a therapist. And I do not want my name in your Jamco Comedy Series. Ever heard of it? Yeah. Oh, I was on the show. Really? How was it? Well, first of all, I had to blow the dude. Then he had to book me on a date 2 months afterwards. Then the show was, meh. No, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that. Ever.
No.
The only reason why you're blowing me is because you want to, and you're just a terrible person. Other than that, I have nothing for you.
All right.
So what movies have you been binge watching?
Binge watching.
Good question. Last night I watched Child's Play and I laughed my tits off because I laughed from a healthy place. First of all, Child's Play, I think that movie came out in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And I was watching it while I was washing dishes, and this was kind of after and our podcast yesterday when we filmed. I was watching the first 45 minutes of it. We did the hour podcast, and then I watched the rest of it. And I thought to myself, the premise, the idea, this movie is, the first one is fucking incredible. It's amazing. I love the franchise. There's more shitty movies than there's good movies. Child's Play, I watch, and then I'm watching the Hellraiser series. I watched Hellraiser 1, and then I tried to watch Hellraiser 2, but then we had another, we were trying to do the podcast, but I've been doing that. One of the shows that I've been binge watching, I actually upgraded my Hulu to Disney Plus, and I'm watching X-Men, the animated series.
Nice.
And it's 1 o'clock in the morning while I'm creating flyers, and I'm laughing my ass off because Wolverine. I grew up collecting comic book cards. That was my thing. Me and my brother, we would collect comics, and I still have them. Mm-hmm. And as I'm watching the X-Men animated series, season one, episode 1, 2, and 3, reminded of my childhood. I'm reminded of how great this show is.
Yep.
So another show that I'm watching is I'm binge watching slowly but surely because it's a new show. It's Grimsburg, the Hulu show by Jon Hamm.
Well, we tried to watch the first episode. The first episode that came on, the pilot. Yeah. It was.
But I will say this, as I'm watching the show, because again, I know Jon Hamm, big movie star. You give it time. As a matter of fact, I would say this, watch all the episodes that are out because it does get better. The weird thing about this show is what's funny is the dialogue. It's like you could watch The Simpsons and the dialogue is so funny. You could probably quote the fucking series, but they have subtleties that are funny. Grimsburg doesn't really have that yet. I kind of feel like it's trying to find its footing.
It's dry. In my opinion,
huh?
It's dry.
It has a very English humor to it.
Yes.
But watching 3 episodes of it, I wouldn't give up on it yet.
I've been watching I've been binge watching House of Ninjas on Netflix.
Okay. Tell us about it.
And it's actually really pretty. It's pretty freaking good. I didn't think it was going to be that good. It's about a family of shinobis.
Okay.
They don't like being called ninjas. They're called shinobis. And
because ninjas sound like the other N-word. Go on though.
No. If you watch the show, they say that though. They say they don't like being called ninjas. They call shinobis, and it's a family of them. It's the father and the mother, and but it's really good. It's I think it's only 8 or 10 episodes. I'm on up to episode 6, I believe.
Okay.
But it's been pretty good. It's all in English. It's in English, so but it's on Netflix. Pretty good show that I've been binge watching. What else have I been watching?
We've been binge watching Monk.
Monk. I started
such watching a great show. I haven't fully.
I've never seen it before.
I've watched up to maybe two seasons, Monk in general, that's a great show. Tony Shalhoub is amazing.
It is. I think the funniest one to me was he was standing in the classroom and his kid was digging in his nose. And everything that I saw in his face was on my face. Like,
you know what? I think I've watched that show three seasons in and then I stopped. I'm actually going to go back and watch the first three seasons and then continue because I know they came out with a movie, but
yes,
it's one of those shows that I could pop in and work on some stuff and I'm still engaged. Oh, you know, it's not one of those shows that you could ignore. Like I'm watching Burn Notice right now. And it's also from the same TV station as Monk.
Yeah,
and
I watched Burn Notice years ago. Oh, but I only got to the first season.
Such a good show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and the thing is, it's like I find myself more engaged in what's going on with Monk than what's going on in my personal life or my professional life. Because Tony Shalhoub, I think he's been nominated a bunch of times for Monk. I don't know how many times he's won. But it's like, I'm just like, okay, because the thing is, I'm 42. I'm going to be 42 in July. And I find myself being more of a germaphobe now because I have masks. Since I've been sick last week, I'll wear masks on the subway. And I'm just like, why am I wearing a mask? And I'm like, oh, because I don't want to get sick. I don't want to put myself in a situation where my health is at risk. So I'll wear a mask just like 30% of the people who are doing a morning commute are wearing masks also. So I feel less crazy. So like if I go to a bodega and get like breakfast and I go to my job, I'm washing my hands before I'm eating. Like I'm like, wow, I am washing my hands. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Okay, I'm done. And then I do that. I don't want to get sick. So it's like anytime I do something that is like mildly Monk related, I'm just like, yeah, feel free to call me Adrian Monk. Because like today, there was a guy who came up to me, a sales rep. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the family. I'm like, I've been here for 8 months. I don't need to be welcomed anymore. My name is so-and-so. And he extended his hand to me. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like, I'm not shaking your fucking hand. Why not? Because... Why? And the thing is, I was like, I'm not, no offense, I don't shake hands. And then he asked me, why not? And this was my answer. Because I've been to airport bathrooms.
Wow.
What does that have to do with anything? I will tell you this. I'll tell you exactly. I was like, oh, funny you should say that. In the time that it takes me to land or depart from an airport, and I'm holding my phallus for the 15 seconds or 40, depending on what I've had to drink. I've seen people use the bathroom next to me, two stalls next to me,
yep,
three stalls next to me, and walk out.
Walk the fuck out.
Fuck you.
I am not
shaking your hand. Now, not for nothing, I get Howie Mandel now. He's a germaphobe. Yep. First of all, no. I'm like, no, you're not a germaphobe. You are health aware. You're not a germaphobe.
I went to the casino here last month and went to the stall and this old white gal, he was walking in front of me and I'm like, damn, he's gonna take the last stall. He took the stall and then another stall opened up. I go into my stall and do my business. I get out, I start washing my hands, and I watch this old guy come out of his stall and walk right the fuck out.
Oh, fuck you. No, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. No, we're not doing that.
So I finish washing my hands, and I walk out, and I scream at the dude, you nasty bastard. You see, don't touch no machines. Y'all need to make him wash his hands.
No, and you know what? It's funny because... Again, I travel a lot. I go all across this beautiful country. but I'm always aware of the person who's walking away from a stall, who's walking out of those bathroom stalls, and is walking completely out of the bathroom. No, fuck all that. No, no. Let me tell you something. During the pandemic, when we were wearing masks and staying 6 feet away from each other, aside from me getting the COVID in February, from February on down, I never got sick after that. Wearing masks, away from people. I was not sick. Even traveling. I traveled during the pandemic. I went to Austin. I went to Mobile. I went to other parts of the country. And it was like, oh, no one's around. I went to Vegas during the pandemic.
Right.
And the thing is, it's funny. Somebody made a statement. This most disgusting place on the planet is a bathroom in an airport. Ugh. And I'm like, you're not wrong. Motherfuckers go in there, hold their dicks for 15 seconds. When they're done, zip up, grab their luggage, and walk out. You think I'm shaking your... No, I'm not shaking your hand. Why? Fuck you, why? No, fuck all that. I'll give you a pound. I'll give you the elbow.
Most people...
But aside from that, I'm not giving you a handshake.
We're already gun-shy to catching COVID. Nobody wants to be catching fucking hepatitis. Because your motherfucking ass don't know how to wash your fucking hands.
And with that being said, just this past week, I had a bacterial nasal infection. What does that mean? I'll tell you exactly how from Tuesday of last week, well into Monday. What that meant was every time I blew my nose, it looked like a Jackson Pollock painting because I was sneezing blood out of my nose. I was coughing up blood. And everything that I was taking, Robitussin, NyQuil, Alka-Seltzers, none of those were antibiotics until I went to urgent care. Hey, what's the problem? Oh, let me show you something. Achoo! Here you go. This is my problem. You see that? That's blood. How do we fix this? And they gave me antibiotics. Went to my pharmaceutical store across the street from urgent care, gave me the antibiotics. 2 days after I took the antibiotics, more blood, more coughing. I'm feeling better. Way better. This side of my face right here felt like there was a big stone sitting on top of it. Sinus pressure. I would go like this. I would blow out of this nose and it's nothing but red shit coming out of it. It was bad. I thought I had pneumonia or walking pneumonia, at least. Nope, you just have the severe case of a nasal bacterial infection.
Wow.
Which I probably got on the train because I got it days after I was in Portland for the festival there.
Oh.
On a train. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling sick. Why am I feeling sick? Portland, the average temperature was like 50 degrees. Very comfortable, very nice, very mild. I get on a train here in New York and leave it to me. I probably grabbed a pole and went like this. Ugh, rubbed my face and not knew it. And then got the bacterial infection that way. I'm assuming. But I know I went to work Monday. Felt pretty okay, but I was like, eh. Then I went to work Tuesday, and I was like, I feel like I just want to grab a pin and jam it into my fucking temple, because I felt like shit. I left at 9 o'clock that day and was sick for the rest of the week. So, yeah, if I don't shake your hand, don't be offended. I don't feel like getting sick. I don't want your fucking cooties, and I don't fucking give a shit about the last thing you did 5 hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and that's a page out of Monk for all of us.
Well, yeah. So with all that being said, I get you, Adrian Monk, and I get you, Tony Shalhoub.
So much. He needs a resurgence. So that being said,
good night. Done, pretty much. So, first of all, for those of you who are listening, thank you for listening as usual. Yes, my special guest to Romeo Nash. who is, for those of you who don't know who he is Marianne's significant other, husband, if you want to be really technical. And, yeah, that's right. That happened. So we appreciate you guys listening to us. We're going to post this up very soon. As Marianne always say, make good choices. And as I always say, if you're going to vote for Trump and shit hits the fan, just remember it's not about you. So fuck off. Goodbye.
Peace.
Don't say nothing yet, because it's one of those things where it's like when you hang up with an angry customer and you're like, fuck that dude, and he listens to you. He's like, oh, we heard that. Give me one second. Let me... You're really not going to let me... oh, there we go. Hold on. I got to get a new computer. That's right. This is outtakes, folks.